The title of this podcast is Reassessing Bitcoin. And of course, I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, the publisher of naturalnews.com, the founder of Brighteon.com and many other platforms. And it's interesting, over the years, I've taken quite a bit of heat for for some of the things I've said about Bitcoin. And here in this podcast, you know, a lot has changed, and including my own views and understandings of what is Bitcoin and the role of cryptocurrency in promoting human freedom. And also, by the way, RFK Jr. has just now delivered a truly monumental keynote address at the Bitcoin 2023 conference, which his understanding of Bitcoin resonates with a lot of the realizations that that I'm coming to. But I do want to say, for the record, by the way, any time in the past when I criticized the hype surrounding Bitcoin, in almost every case, I said that I'm not opposed to the technology of cryptocurrency. In fact, I support the technology. I support the idea of peer-to-peer money. I've always said that consistently, that I always support decentralized finance, you know, control back to the people and so on. And what I was strongly opposed to, which I suppose I still am opposed to, is the kind of mindless hype that often accompanied Bitcoin. And, you know, there was a time, although quite a lot of this has been corrected after the FTX fiasco, but there was a time when, you know, a lot of Bitcoin, maybe big holders, were just the most insane, arrogant people around. And they were claiming that Bitcoin would go to, you know, $1 million a coin, and that anybody who wasn't on board was a complete idiot, and you know, Bitcoin was going to save the world, and that Bitcoin was private money and decentralized money and so on. And I knew that those things were not true. And so many of the things that I criticized Bitcoin for, just to be clear, are things that have since been proven to be exactly accurate. In other words, Bitcoin is not private. Bitcoin has some severe problems and limitations. One being that it's not private. There is really no privacy when it comes to Bitcoin, almost none, which we'll talk about in a second. Also, Bitcoin is really not that decentralized. But I understood the idea of having your own digital money, controlling your own wallet. You know, the original Satoshi vision was right on, in fact. It was very much right on. And that vision, I think, you know, obviously still lives on today, but there is a much better Bitcoin than Bitcoin, it turns out now. And maybe if I have enough time, I'll talk about that a little bit. But Bitcoin itself, as it exists right now, is not a very good Bitcoin, you could say. There is a much better tech that has come along since then that perhaps maybe Bitcoin will adopt and upgrade itself. We'll see. It'll be interesting. But I just want to be clear, I never criticized the idea of decentralized money. I always understood that that was really critical. Now, the other thing that has happened that has changed my views quite considerably is that previously, and this is where I do need to issue a correction of sorts. Previously, I had believed that because Bitcoin was backed by nothing, that it therefore had no intrinsic value. And I really did not agree with those who are characterizing Bitcoin as digital gold, because, you know, gold is something physical. It's an element. It's on the table of elements. You can hold it. You can touch it. You can't even burn it. You know, you can't burn it up. You can't burn up gold and turn it into something that isn't gold. It's always gold. I mean, you can vaporize it. It's just gold vapor. You can melt it. It's just melted gold and so on. So I never saw Bitcoin as digital gold. And so I believed that Bitcoin was backed by nothing and that it would eventually return to nothing. That belief, now, I need to correct it for the record, and also share with you how I corrected it in my own mind. And this applies to all crypto, or, well, I should say the non-crap coin crypto, okay? So like all serious crypto. And this only became clear that intrinsic value doesn't mean it doesn't have to be backed by something 3D world physical, you know, meat space physical. It doesn't have to be. The intrinsic value of cryptocurrency can be some other value, such as, for example, non-confiscatability or rapid transfer capabilities, right? So the ability to move it quickly, or the ability to move it without it being blocked or confiscated or halted by a bank, as they can halt, you know, money wires and things like that. And the ability to carry it with you in a very portable format and so on. These are all intrinsic values that are inherent to all serious crypto projects that themselves do give it value, because again, it's borderless, right? You can send a Bitcoin to someone halfway around the world, or even to someone in orbit. If they have a Bitcoin wallet address in orbit, you can send Bitcoin to them in orbit, or on Mars, I suppose. Anywhere you have, you know, comms, you can send Bitcoin. But the other thing that has happened more recently that has really driven this point home for me, and I think for a lot of people, and in fact, RFK Jr. spoke about this. Well, I'll just read you his words. He said, quote, "I became a Bitcoiner when I saw what Canada did to the truckers." Exactly. We need to thank Justin Castro Trudeau for actually waking people up to the importance of decentralized finance. For me, this was also a pivot point. Before the Canadian government seized the bank accounts of people who donated to the Canadian truckers, I personally did not see nearly as much intrinsic value in cryptocurrency as I now see. And since then, since that event in Canada, I have personally seen and experienced and covered as a journalist, written about many other episodes where banks seize people's money just for political purposes, by the way, or people were deplatformed because of their viewpoint. You know, I'm on a financial blacklist, by the way. PayPal shut down my account quite a while ago simply because of my viewpoints. Recently, I talked about this. JP Morgan refused to allow me to place a charge on a credit card simply because the charge was coming from a company, an e-commerce company that has the word gun in its name. And it was only a very small charge, and it wasn't even a charge for a gun. It was a $25 shipping charge that I tried to put on a credit card. JP Morgan rejected it solely because of the word gun. Okay, so, and I've heard from many other people about many similar experiences. I've seen banks refuse to wire money that people wanted to use to buy gold, for example. I've seen banks, well, even my own bank has all kinds of limits on how much you can wire. You know, oh, it's like no more than like what, $10,000 a day or $50,000 a month total, no matter how much per day or whatever. We've got all these limits. That's even when you have your logins and you have your passwords and you have total control, they still limit you. The banks, now they don't limit you depositing money. You can deposit unlimited millions if you have it. You just can't take it out that fast. You know, it's not, they're not going to make it easy for you to wire it out or, you know, ATM withdrawals or what have you. It's all very limited. And those limits are about to get a lot worse. Based on intel sources that I've spoken with personally, banks are going to initiate withdrawal limits because of the worsening bank runs situation in America, which means that, yeah, you can have all your money, you just can't access it. And, you know, I'm sorry, that's unacceptable. And now Bitcoin, if you have a Bitcoin wallet, you can access your entire wallet at any time, all the time, which is the way it should be. You control your Bitcoin. You have your wallet. No bank can tell you that you can't send however much to whatever address you want. You can send it to whoever you want. Now, of course, on the Bitcoin blockchain, all that is public information. Anybody can know who you paid or who you received money from, or even they can trace back where these coins came from that you have. And there can be tainted coins, which we'll talk about in a minute, which actually causes a problem with fungibility on Bitcoin. It's one of the drawbacks of Bitcoin. But again, that problem has been solved by more recent projects, by the way. You know, there's a better Bitcoin than Bitcoin itself, at least in terms of the core technology. But where Bitcoin really shines now is that, of course, it's the by far the largest cryptocurrency, which means it has the most liquidity and it has the most on-ramps and off-ramps. Bitcoin has become the universal coin that you can use in cross-chain swaps or, you know, exchanges where you trade one coin for another coin, which happens directly. You never go into fiat. For example, I can trade Bitcoin for Litecoin, let's say, or I can trade Bitcoin for Dogecoin, whatever. So Bitcoin has become the universal coin that is always, almost, I would say almost always, the number one trade for every other coin that you might want to get into. And there are lots of online, you know, exchanges, obviously, where you can change one coin into another coin, like Change Now or Changely or what's it called, Trader Joe's or whatever. There are all kinds of online exchanges, and you can also do exchanges in your own wallet. So if you like the Exodus wallet, that's one I've recommended before. Inside Exodus, which again, I run Exodus, you can do exchanges. It's sometimes a little more expensive inside the wallet, but it's very convenient, and it's reasonable. If you want to trade Bitcoin for, let's say, Monero or Tether or Binance Coin or whatever. Monero is one of these privacy coins, which we'll talk about here in a little bit. But Bitcoin has become the universal bridge to other coins. So even though personally, I don't think Bitcoin is the best coin in terms of its tech, and it certainly isn't private, and Bitcoin has numerous issues such as, well, a massive node size for one thing, the storage of ordinals on the Bitcoin blockchain is making it even bigger. It's going to explode in size. It's going to become unwieldy, probably, in my opinion, because of ordinals. Eventually, it's not there yet. Bitcoin transactions are slow, and they're crazy expensive. I mean, crazy expensive. Even just recently, one Bitcoin transaction, just sending Bitcoin, would cost you about $30. Or it got close to 30. It was $29, something like that. That has since gone down. But there are many other coins where you can send for a penny. You know, even Litecoin, you can send for, I don't know, some extremely small amount. It might be a couple of pennies. And Litecoin's way faster than Bitcoin, by the way. In almost everything's faster than Bitcoin, right? So Bitcoin it's massive, but it's not private, and it's not fast, and it's not cheap, and it's not really decentralized. But you should have the right to own Bitcoin. And because Bitcoin is universal, I can actually now understand the argument better that Bitcoin has intrinsic value because it is widely recognized as being money that you control. And because it can be converted readily into almost anything else, it's the universal crypto, right? It's not the best crypto, but it's the universal crypto. It's kind of like I would say, you know, the Glock 19, it's not the best pistol, but it's the universal pistol. Or I should say, it's the universal, you know, combat pistol or backup pistol or whatever. Some people might say Glock 17, whatever. I actually prefer Sig Sauer pistols myself, but, you know, that's just me. Oh, let me double check this one, actually. Some people like the M&P Shields, you know, some people like Sigs, some people like whatever. Some people like 1911s, which is fine. But, you know, Bitcoin is the universal crypto. It's just there are many, many better forms of crypto. But if you hold Bitcoin, you can easily get in and out of other things. So I'm understanding more and more now the argument of the inherent value or the intrinsic value of Bitcoin. It is borderless. The transactions really can't be stopped by any bank or any government. That has value by itself. You can carry it with you pretty easily. On at least you can carry your password, and even if you can't necessarily carry a full node, or maybe you could carry a full node. I mean, it's going to be a terabyte pretty soon, so you'd have to have like a terabyte thumb drive or something. But you could carry that with you, and memory is getting cheaper. You know, storage is getting cheaper, so you could carry it with you. But I like wallets like Exodus or others. There's, you know, Cake wallets, a bunch of wallets where you can just memorize a seed phrase and then you could restore that wallet somewhere else. So you don't even have to have a thumb drive with you. The portability is guaranteed by your own memory. Like you could actually, if you had to flee a country, you know, Venezuela, let's say, or California, maybe, if you had to flee a country and you were a refugee and the only thing you could take with you was what you could put in your head, what you could memorize, you know, Bitcoin. Through a wallet password, a seed phrase that you can restore. You can carry Bitcoin in your head, essentially unlimited amounts of, quote, money, and you have total control and they can't confiscate it. They can't see it. They can't scan your luggage and find it. You know, they can't get it by emptying your pockets. They can't, it's not tied to your social security number. It's not in a bank account, right, that they can seize. The IRS can't find it, you know. Unless, of course, they track it through a KYC centralized exchange. If you bought all your Bitcoin on a centralized exchange and then transferred it to your wallet, well, they can track that. And again, that's one of the problems of Bitcoin. But still, you can move around with it and you can change it into anything else. And Bitcoin has the widest acceptance in terms of merchants. So, you know, a lot of people will sell a lot of things in Bitcoin. And by the way, at my store, healthrangerstore.com, we are integrating real soon here, by the way, in less than 30 days, we're integrating some new crypto tools to be able to accept not only Bitcoin, but many other coins, including privacy coins, including Monero, I believe that's supported, and others, so that you can purchase food from us without having a record of your credit card of purchasing food, because food rationing is coming, folks. Food rationing is coming. New York City Mayor Eric Adams has already announced, we covered this on naturalnews.com, he's announced that they're tracking the food purchases of the residents of New York. And specifically, they're tracking the meat purchases in order to try to limit meat purchases by 33%. So the rationing is coming in New York City, and that's a pilot test case for this. If they succeed there, they will push the rationing to other cities. You will be monitored. You'll be limited in how much you can spend on food. Well, how do you circumvent that? Because you don't want to starve to death under some, you know, government starvation gulag regime. Well, you get into Bitcoin. And then from Bitcoin, you get into a privacy coin. And then from the privacy coin, you make a purchase with a website like mine or others. And then your purchase is completely untrackable. Completely untrackable. So, and then you might not, you know, starve to death, which is awesome. And it also helps to grow some of your own food, you know, have backyard chickens, that kind of thing. But you understand my point. Maybe you need to purchase ammo. Maybe you need to purchase ivermectin. Maybe you need to purchase something or send money to somebody and the government doesn't want you to do that, like Justin Trudeau in Canada. Well, you can do it with a privacy coin. And the easiest way to get into a privacy coin is to buy Bitcoin first. See, so Bitcoin is the bridge to the privacy coins. Privacy coins is where you have anonymity. You have true privacy. You don't have that in Bitcoin. Now, Bitcoin, you can buy it on all the major exchanges where you do KYC and then you can buy all the Bitcoin you want, but it's all tied to your name, your social security number, all that, your identity. But the minute you swap that for privacy coins, and then it ends up in a privacy wallet, then that is no longer linked to you. It's impossible to link it to you. And so from there, you could use a privacy coin to purchase the things that you want to purchase without being tracked, which is your right as a human being. You know, freedom to buy, freedom to purchase food without being deemed a criminal or a hoarder of some kind. So the intrinsic value that I'm recognizing now, especially after the whole truckers thing in Canada and, you know, the increasingly tyrannical regime in the United States, the intrinsic value in Bitcoin is that it is your stepping stone to privacy coins. And I've spent the last 2 months really digging quite heavily into privacy coins, which I'll talk about in a second. But let me read from what RFK Jr. said. He said, talking about the trucker demonstration was peaceful and the freedom of money was as paramount as freedom of speech. But guess what? The government always has a good excuse to take away your rights. And from this article on bombthrower.com, it says, RFK began to rattle off the iterations of the latest thing that was supposed to be a larger collective cause that was more important than our individual and civil rights, terrorism, COVID, pandemics, climate crisis, the list goes on. RFK says, utopia will come when the government can exercise total control over the population. I mean, he's saying that sarcastically, obviously. The funny thing is, utopia never quite arrives, and it's always just around the corner as soon as the government takes away just a few more of your rights and whatever's left of your privacy. So RFK declared, quote, as president, your right to own Bitcoin shall be inviolable. In other words, shall not be infringed, you know, like the Second Amendment, which of course is also being ignored by the government. He says also, as will self-custody and running your own nodes, right? That's key to decentralization. I'm really pleasantly surprised that RFK understands this part of the tech. This came as a surprise to me. I should have asked him about this when I interviewed him, but I wasn't thinking that RFK was the crypto president candidate. Had I known this, I would have asked him about it then. But this is really great to hear him saying this. He says the government has no right to be inside your wallet. And he said that the current era is an age of turnkey totalitarianism. And he says that Bitcoiners today embody the same ethos and impulses as the original framers of the U.S. Constitution. So this is being called an historic speech, and it stands in great contrast to the talk of left-wing tyrant lunatics like Senator Elizabeth Warren, who is running an anti-crypto army because she, of course, works for the central banks and big pharma and everything else. So we need to recognize that what RFK Jr. just said about Bitcoin is truly historic. It's actually epic. It is something that will go down in history, and it's a reason why every single person in the crypto community should get behind Robert F. Kennedy. And we should also ask Trump these same questions too. I don't know Trump's position on crypto, frankly. Maybe he's spoken about it here and there, but I think he's spoken about it in more negative light. But then again, so did I previously. I'm seeing the very high intrinsic value in this age of increasing financial totalitarianism. You know, we cannot live under centralized finance. We have to have DeFi. And RFK Jr. totally gets that. So, you know, kudos to him. If you want to join his email list, by the way, it's at Kennedy24.com. Kennedy24.com. Now, I've spent the last 2 months really digging heavily into multiple privacy coins, as I call them. They don't always call themselves that, but coins that have privacy-oriented features. And I am in the final stages of due diligence for this. Next week, I'm doing an interview with Uncle V, as he's known, who is with the Epic Cash Project. And I'll be speaking with him again. That's Tuesday. It's his live stream, I think, on YouTube. Somehow, he's not yet totally banned on YouTube. So I'm joining him. I think that's at 3 p.m. Central, if you want to tune into that and hear that. Because Epic Cash, based on everything that I've seen, by far outperforms everything else in terms of the tech that's available. But let me tell you how I've looked at all of this. I've bought and sold in order to understand the buying and selling. Not, by the way, not doing active trading, not even as a speculator. But I bought and sold Monero, Zcash, Pirate Chain, Litecoin, and I tried to use the Mimblewimble feature on Litecoin. Couldn't find anywhere to make that work, by the way. And Epic Cash. And I looked up the history of Mimblewimble coin. Doesn't seem to be around anymore. But the Mimblewimble feature of the, or I should say protocol of the blockchain, frankly, makes the Bitcoin blockchain obsolete in terms of tech. Now, it doesn't mean that all of Bitcoin is obsolete because, you know, it still has intrinsic value. It has a massive user base. It's the universal crypto and probably will be for a long time. But Mimblewimble is light years ahead of every other form of blockchain that I've seen for a couple of key reasons. Mimblewimble does not store wallet IDs on the blockchain. Therefore, the privacy of it is automatic. It's by design. Whereas Monero, for example, Your wallet ID is found in every transaction, but it's kind of convoluted with, I think, 15 or 16 other wallet IDs, and no one can really say which wallet it was. So it's kind of like throwing a smokescreen down and saying, see if you can find the wallet, you know. Whereas Mimblewimble blockchain, which is what Epic Cash uses, doesn't even store wallet IDs on the blockchain at all. And by the way, it's far simpler math. The math behind it, the algorithms behind Mimblewimble are so much simpler than zero-knowledge snarks, you know, ZK snarks and so on that power things like Zcash. And by the way, Zcash most of the time doesn't even operate in privacy mode. Most people use Zcash without any privacy. It's almost like zero privacy cash because almost no one uses the privacy features. So it's like, okay, I thought the whole point here was supposed to be privacy, but it's really not. So a coin or a project like Epic Cash is using this really advanced recent technology that I think actually better fits the original vision of Satoshi. In other words, I think Epic Cash is a better Bitcoin than Bitcoin, and it's very clear. I'm actually building a chart of a point scoring system that I'm finalizing myself before I do a public release of my scoring system and my conclusions about all the different coins. But I can tell you right now that Epic Cash actually scores by far the highest on that system once you consider privacy, fungibility, divisibility, scalability, decentralization, and so on. Bitcoin, in the long run, will either have to embrace the Mimblewimble blockchain itself, which would be a major change, perhaps impossible change, or Bitcoin is just going to be eventually, you know, outgunned by all the newer projects that use Mimblewimble, which right now Epic Cash is by far the leader in that space from what I can tell. Oh, and I do hold some, of course, Epic Cash coins, but I also hold I hold Monero, and I hold some Zcash, and I hold some Pirate and Bitcoin. You know, I've tested a lot of things about this. I've tested transfers and translations and cross-chain withdrawals. I've tested destroying wallets and recreating them with just seed phrases, which is always a little scary, but it's worked. And I've tested you know, how many blocks things take to confirmations to clear. I've tested, you know, blockchain time and blockchain fees or gas fees, especially with Ethereum. The gas fees get insane. This is one reason why I'm not a great fan of Ethereum, by the way. It's like, whoa, I thought this was supposed to be affordable, and it isn't. So, you know, there are the giants in this space, Bitcoin and Ethereum. But the giants have become rather quite bloated and are being outmaneuvered by far more nimble coins, which is the Nimble Mimblewimble blockchain. Actually, is far more nimble, much smaller total blockchain file size. I think something like only 5 gigabytes or in that range, which means that mobile devices can download full nodes. So we're talking about mass decentralization. And so, you know, if RFK Jr., he's talking about, hey, everybody should have the right to self-custody and running your own nodes. Well, I agree with that, but not every mobile phone can download a 1 terabyte Bitcoin blockchain, right? I mean, nobody's got a terabyte mobile phone, and it's just too cumbersome. So you need smaller, you need more efficient systems, and Mimblewimble is by far more efficient. Mimblewimble only takes up about 10% of the space of Bitcoin for the same number of transactions. It's only about 10%. So the scalability of something built on Mimblewimble, like Epic Cash, for example, is far, far greater. It can scale at least 10 times as large. And there are other things, by the way, inside Epic Cash, like CoinJoin and Dandelion protocols and things like that, that turn out to be very, very clever and very efficient. Now, Monero is a pretty cool project, and I've been a fan of Monero for quite some time, and I actually think Monero would be the most prominent privacy coin today if it were not for Epic. And there's nothing wrong with Monero, it's just that the blockchain is massive because, of course, it's putting in, well, there are a number of reasons, but one of those is putting in up to 16 extra wallet IDs in each transaction. And so, of course, the wallet gets rather bloated with a lot of, you know, obfuscation wallet IDs, you know, ring, they're called like ring chains or whatever terms they use to describe it. It's much larger than it needs to be. But it's a very usable system. And I think it's probably the most recognized, probably has the largest market cap, I would guess. And Monero has strong utility. I am not in any way anti-Monero. Again, I've used it, and I think it has tremendous inherent value in its privacy. But I think that Epic Cash outmaneuvers it with the very efficient blockchain and the Mimblewimble technology. Now, by the way, we have to talk about fungibility here for just a few minutes, although I'll probably do more education on this. Well, I'm sure I will, because this is at the top of my mind for a lot of reasons, mostly due to the banks and the authoritarian regimes that are trying to seize your money. But, you know, Bitcoin is not fungible. And, you know, fungibility means that, you know, one BTC equals one BTC. It means that every coin is the same as every other coin. And that's not true with Bitcoin, because the coins are tainted if they were previously used in transactions that the government considers to be criminal, such as Silk Road transactions, right? So you could be holding Bitcoins right now that could be traced back through, you know, three or four or five hops back to a Silk Road transaction or some other, quote, criminal transaction. And thus, the government or any government could declare that all coins emanating from those transactions are hereby declared tainted, and they could quite literally order the centralized exchanges, such as Coinbase, to block all wallets that contain those coins that can be traced back to those illegal, quote, illegal purchases. As a result, Bitcoin is never really as clean as you think. It's kind of like dirty crypto from the point of view of the government, in that it's tainted. Now, freshly mined Bitcoin is clean because it has no history. So mining Bitcoin produces actually more valuable Bitcoins than Bitcoins that have already been used, which is interesting. So one Bitcoin does not equal one Bitcoin. One newly minted or mined Bitcoin, yeah, that's got full value. One used Bitcoin, not the same value necessarily, because it could be tainted. So this idea that Bitcoins can be used or tainted actually kind of destroys the whole idea of fungibility, and it is a fatal problem with the Bitcoin blockchain structure, in my opinion. The fact that it's all a big public, open, transparent record probably means, you know, that three-letter agencies had a hand in creating this whole thing in the first place, because they wanted to track everybody, and they needed a way for themselves to move money quickly for their own purposes. But they also wanted to kind of track everybody else in this space and see what they were doing. And so it's a multi-billion dollar industry now for certain companies like Chainalysis and so on, to track money moving through the Bitcoin ecosystem. That is impossible to do with Monero, and it's impossible to do with Epic Cash and other so-called privacy coins if they're used in privacy mode. There's nothing you can't track from point to point of where a coin has been, where a coin was used. Oh, this coin was used to buy hookers and coke at a Hunter Biden birthday party. No, there's no such tainting with Epic Cash. It's like with Epic or Monero, every coin is as fresh and as good as every other coin at all times, because no coin has history that could taint it. Therefore, fungibility, which I think is a requirement for free money, money freedom, let's say, pro-freedom money, fungibility goes along with privacy, and Bitcoin fails on those counts. And so does Dogecoin, and so does Litecoin, and so does Ethereum, and so on and so forth. Almost all the coins out there, almost all the tokens, fail on these critical points, fungibility and privacy, which go together. So if you don't have privacy in your coins and you don't have fungibility, you don't really have I think, a long-term workable cryptocurrency system. And that's why I think the future of cryptocurrency is going to be in privacy-oriented coins that have absolute fungibility. Every coin is the same as every previous coin and every new coin. And they have privacy. And again, you can spend months like I did looking at all this and talking to experts and reading articles and using these systems. You're going to come to the exact same conclusion I believe that I did, which is that the Mimblewimble blockchain is the only blockchain that actually solves this problem. And it's only been around for like 3 or 4 years, something like that. So it's relatively new. And I know some people have attacked the Mimblewimble blockchain. Oh, it's too vulnerable, blah, blah. They were working with very small transaction pools and metadata and things like that. And that doesn't apply in the real world. In the real world, it's impossible to match up metadata transactional inputs and outputs to Mimblewimble activity. Once you have, an actual user set that's larger than, let's say, a couple thousand people, which has already been achieved with Epic, by the way. So it's the Mimblewimble blockchain is very secure because, of course, it doesn't even store the wallet IDs. And it also makes it smaller and lighter and more nimble, faster to download, easier to run nodes, and impossible to snoop into it. I mean, with Monero, your wallet ID is there. It can be found if they can eliminate the other 15 or whatever the other wallet IDs are. If they can eliminate those or reduce those, they can increase the chances of locating your wallet ID in a Monero transaction. In an Epic Cash transaction, your wallet ID doesn't even exist. It's not even there. It's not even in the blockchain. There's a 0% chance of mining the chain to find your wallet ID. It's just not there. So bottom line, and I'm going to, of course, do a lot more education, I think, on all these topics, and I'm going to release my comparison chart because I want to know what's the best thing, to flee a country if you're a refugee. What's the best thing for storing value long-term? What's the best thing for widespread utility? What's the best thing for rapid transactions? Different use cases for different types of coins. What's the best thing for purchasing food without the government knowing what you've done? Obviously, the answer is privacy coins, and Bitcoin's a horrible solution for that. But Bitcoin has a great use to get into privacy coins, and that's where I think a lot of people are going right now. A lot of people are exiting the banking system, the fiat banks, which is probably a smart thing to do, and I'm also one of those people because I don't trust these banks, and they don't frankly even want me as a customer, right? JP Morgan doesn't want me as a customer. Screw JP Morgan and Jamie Dimon. They can go F themselves as far as I'm concerned. I don't feel like I need their services much longer. We can do everything in the world of crypto. We can buy and sell and trade in crypto. I don't even want to be in fiat. I don't want to move in and out of fiat. I just want to get out of fiat one time into the crypto universe and hold it in crypto and then use it from there as needed in whatever is the best coin or the best technology that exists for the intended purpose, with the lowest transaction fees, obviously, and the best privacy and the fastest time and whatever. And once you get it into the crypto ecosystem, you can always make that choice based on what's available. And, again, privacy is where the future is at in this space, as far as I'm concerned. And so, Change Now, by the way, is going to coming up, I think, early June. ChangeNow.io is going to start supporting. I've heard from Uncle V on watching his video, they're going to start supporting Epic Cash with cross-chain trades. So you could exchange Bitcoin for Epic and get rid of your tainted, dirty Bitcoins, which, again, they can be tainted, and actually have clean Epic or clean Monero or clean, other privacy coins. And that, depending on the circumstances, what your goals are, that might be a really smart thing to do. Something to consider, obviously. Or you might want to hold it in Bitcoin for now because maybe you think Bitcoin is the least volatile of all of this. That's your call. That's your choice, obviously. And the point is, it's your money. and no one can screw with your money, which is the way it should be. You know, not the banks, not the governments, not your boss, and certainly not me. I want you to have control over your money. And what I'm going to do with my online stores, healthrangerstore.com, is we're just going to accept all of this crypto. And we're just going to accept it, you know, as universal payment. And, you know, ship people the food, the organics, the nutritional supplements, all lab tested. That's what we specialize in. And plus the survival and prepping supplies, we're bringing online a lot of really innovative new things you'll see soon. We're going to sell all this in crypto. And for us, this is not, you know, this is just e-commerce. I mean, it's not tax evasion. Obviously, we're going to pay taxes on all the gains. It's going to be reported like everything else. It's, you know, it's revenue for the company. And frankly, we're probably going to have to turn most of that back into fiat temporarily at some point until there are more of our suppliers that will take crypto. So what I would really like is that, yeah, we accept crypto from our customers and then we can pay our suppliers in crypto. And then more and more, none of us need the fiat banks, which is really where we all need to go with this. We all need to get into the crypto universe and stop relying on fiat banks at all. And in that crypto universe, does Bitcoin have a role to play? Absolutely. Does Monero have a role? Absolutely. Does Epic Cash have a role? Yeah, absolutely. Does Ethereum? Yeah, of course. You know, a computational blockchain, smart contracts, does that have a role? You bet it does. Of course it does. Does what about stablecoins? Do they have a role? Yeah, sure. For certain circumstances, you want to tie yourself to a fiat currency. There's a rational, logical place for that, depending on your strategies and what you're doing. Although, of course, the dollar itself is going to collapse at some point. So it's going to be interesting for those who tie crypto to the dollar through Tether. I wonder how that's going to work out long term. I'm actually not quite sure. Personally, I don't want to be tied to the dollar. I'd rather just be pure crypto in the crypto ecosystem and just use that to buy groceries, use that to buy gas, use crypto to pay suppliers, even use crypto to pay salaries, all of it, you know. It's still the same accounting in our company, you know, it's still the same payroll taxes and, you know, sales taxes and whatever. It's just a different form of payment. And we would love to accept all those forms of payment, every coin, every token that has value. And with companies like Change Now that can translate that into the coins that we want, or the on-ramps and off-ramps into the banking system when we need to do that, then to that extent, it has very high utility. And that's what we all need, very high utility. So bottom line, big thumbs up to Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Awesome. I love the guy even more. Let's ask Trump this question. I am in touch with some of Trump's team people, so I'll ask them this question and see if anybody wants to come on and talk about crypto in the Trump universe. Very curious to hear about that. We're embracing crypto in my world of e-commerce, and also as a tipping system on Brighteon.com. We've decided to go into crypto instead of just focusing on fiat tipping. We're going to embrace crypto. That integration is coming soon. And I'm going to do my best to share with you the conclusions that I've come to, and a scoring system that I'm working on, a comparison chart with actual scores, to let you know what I think about all the different coins, including this new one I'm mentioning, Epic, but also Monero and, you know, Bitcoin, Litecoin, and so on. So that's what I'm going to do. Thanks for listening. Mike Adams here, the Health Ranger, Brighteon.com, and naturalnews.com. Take care. A global reset is coming. And that's why I've recorded a new 9-hour audiobook. It's called The Global Reset Survival Guide. You can download it for free by subscribing to the naturalnews.com email newsletter, which is also free. I'll describe how the monetary system fails. I also cover emergency medicine and first aid and what to buy to help you avoid infections. So download this guide. It's free. It's my gift to you simply because I want like-minded people to survive.